Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, 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 and welcome back for our Thursday episode of Is It Just Me?
Hello, I was already halfway through making a point that my microphone cut out, so I'm just going to jump straight back in again to say that I look gross today because my hair looks gross and I'm, you know what, I have an Is It Just Me of my own. As you know, I've already just told you this, but I'm going to say it again, I stopped washing my hair last year because everybody that has good hair on Instagram never washes their hair. Everybody that I know with really good hair is always like, oh, I only wash it once a week. And I was like, I want to get on that train. So I made the most of my broken jaw. I made the most of COVID lockdowns. And I trained my hair to only be washed once a week, right?
Yep.
Okay, it's been going pretty well. My hair's grown like 5-6 inches. It has changed the game in terms of like how much more free time I've got. It's so much healthier. Everything's going well. But people are giving me so much shit for how rank my hair is, and I have no point other than to say, like, Alex and my mum are, like, actively begging me to wash my hair now.
Really?
Yeah, but it doesn't smell. It just doesn't look good. Like, it's not even that dirty. It just looks a bit rank, and I'm a bit aware of that.
I feel like when I get past a certain point, when I get past, like, the four-day mark, there is just absolutely nothing I can do to make it look nice.
No, see, I can go up to 3 days. 3 days is when it looks absolutely revolting. Yesterday was day three for me. Then Living Proof Dry Shampoo pulls you through, and I can do to day sort of 6 or 7. And then I grant you, it does start getting a bit fucking gross. So Alex was, like, so gutted because it was my mum's birthday on Friday, and we were supposed to be going out to a fancy restaurant in London. That was before I spoke to you and last week, and we're supposed to be going out for dinner, and Alex was like, yes, this means you're going to wash your hair, and then dinner got cancelled, so I didn't. He was like absolutely heartbroken.
No.
And then when I came downstairs on Saturday morning, having washed it, everyone was like, oh my god, you look amazing. I was like, thanks so much, all I did was the bare fucking minimum. So on one side it's really great because it means that all I have to do is wash my hair and I look stunning and everyone's like, wow, what have you done? But on the other hand, how gross do I look the rest of the time that I look that good when I wash my hair?
Do you know what? You know? I'm confused about hair washing because, like, every trichologist that I've spoken to has says wash it loads. Like, wash it every day. Like, that's going to get you the healthiest hair and healthiest scalp. But then anecdotally, I've heard from so many people who rarely wash their hair and it's massively improved their hair. So I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. But I don't wash it often just because I'm lazy. And I hate washing my hair. I mean, it's ridiculous because I've got thin hair. So it hardly takes me any time to even dry. But I am just lazy and I just can't bear it.
I am
just lazy.
But if you look at photos of my hair, I'm going to find the before and after, share it on the podcast Instagram, because my hair has grown like 4 times as much as what it was before. Like, it's so long now comparatively to where it was. And that's all down to not washing it. So, like, it does work.
Really?
It'd be 100%. Yeah. 100%. And I can get away. Like, okay, it doesn't look... Does it look dirty? Tell me honestly, does it look dirty today?
No, it doesn't. Well, I mean, it's you're on Zoom, but it doesn't look dirty.
Did it look dirty yesterday?
Well, the only way I know if to me hair looking dirty is greasy.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how I determine whether hair is dirty or not.
I love it though. I'm enjoying not washing my hair. I think I don't think I have a specific is it just me, except I'm happy with the life choice that I've made. I'm happy with this new way of life, but I'm not happy with how much my husband and my mother hate it.
Do you know what? I want to do a call out to any trichologists listening that have a definitive answer to this, because I'm really intrigued to get to the bottom of it. I feel like there is currently no definitive answer and I want to get to the bottom of it. So if there's anyone listening that will help us out, can you let us know? And then I can just decide on where to go from there, you know? But there is a girl on TikTok that I follow that I'm just fascinated by, and she's got the most incredible mane of hair, like beautiful red hair, and it's so thick, and she washes it once a month, and her whole TikTok account is basically how she just washes her hair once a month and like what she does in between, and it's just fascinating. It's so fascinating. I think we should share the video on our Instagram, because it is like just like gobsmacking.
I could.
Her hair just...
But I don't think anyone would want to talk to me. I don't think Alex would... I just think he'd be really upset with me. He just gets upset that I don't wash my hair. He's like, why are you doing this?
But you know what? Like, as much as I hate washing my hair, I love having fresh new hair. Like, there is no feeling like it. And you're like, oh, I don't know. It just feels all breezy and you feel like all shiny and new and like fresh.
But I like to save that feeling. You feel it too often and it just, you know, what's the point? You know what? Who wants to live being that beautiful? Do you know what I mean? I think bring the bar down for yourself, and then like a little dressage horse, you can just jump over it whenever you need to. Do you know what I mean? Like standard, bars low. But one day if you fancy a big like, woo, I look, you know, like... But, you know, hello, like a fancy dancing horse, then that's what you do.
You just wash your hair every day.
No, you just wash your hair once a week.
Okay.
I think the trick in life is to look fucking gross 90% of the time. And you just lower the bar for yourself so that on the last day, on the seventh day, whilst God rests, you dog up. And you just look fucking great. Everyone's delighted. Everyone's like, wow, she looks amazing. You're like, I know.
Blow everyone's socks off.
Thank you. And all I had to do was wash my hair.
It's actually quite good logic.
It's great logic. Because otherwise, what train do you end up on? Otherwise, before you know it, you've lip fillers. You fade tanning every day. You always have to wear the best expensive dresses. And you have to have the Botox in. And it's a hard train to keep on. You know what I mean? Like, if you're an already beautiful person, in order to remain incredibly beautiful, in order to surprise people and make people, wow, you have to really make the effort. Whereas for me, I just look like dog shit for 6 days a week, and then all I have to do is wash my hair, and then woohoo! You know what I mean? It's cheap, it's easy, it's foolproof.
You know, I kind of want to apply that logic to like all areas of my life, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I'm bad at work all the time, apart from like 10% of the time when I just like blow everyone's socks off.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a thing called like...
Do you think that works?
Yeah. Well, there's a thing though, like an abuse thing that's like weaponized incompetence or whatever. And I think a lot of men do it, and probably a lot of women do it too, where you just like pretend to be a fucking moron so that no one asks you to do anything. Like, you know, we've all seen those people. It's like, oh, can you load the dishwasher? And you're like, oh, I don't know how to load the dishwasher. And then they just do it really badly and then no one asks them to do it again. So...
And actually, that is a tactic of like cults, isn't it? A manipulation tactic where... They use like they give you 10% of kindness and rationale, and that weirdly warps how then you see the rest of everything. That like anchors you, even though it shouldn't. And it's the same as like abuse, basically. But it's like a weird manipulation tactic.
Just like in deliberate inconsistency, keep people on their toes.
Yeah.
So I do it with love. This hair washing stuff. Yeah. This is. I didn't mean anything by it. I'm not like Charlie Mansoning Alex. I'm just trying to live my life. I need to stress that.
Feels like you are with the magnets. I'm not gonna lie, but okay.
Look, again, cults are popular for a reason. I'm just saying. Just like cliches, there's gotta be something in it. There's got to be something in it.
In our interview next week, we recorded it yesterday and I ended it on literally one of the biggest cliches. And like as the words were coming out of my mouth, I was like, why am I saying this? She's going to dine off this forever.
Is it just me that loves a cliche? There. No, it's not. I fucking love it. I just love it.
I do like a cliche. I do like a cliche, especially like the ones about like you can't go around it. You've got to go through it. Time doesn't heal all wounds, but time definitely helps heal wounds. I like that.
I don't like those two. Actually, those are two of my least favorite cliches, I think.
Seriously?
Yeah, because I don't think time heals wounds. And I think you can definitely go around things. I can think of so many obstacles in my life that I don't go through. I just go around.
Healthy.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. I'm like, oh, I don't know, let's identify a problem. It won't take me long, hang on. I'll tell you what it is, the living room, full of shit, absolutely full of shit. I could work through that, or I could just go around the room. Let's not go into it. It's going great, it's going fine.
Yeah, sounds like it's going really well.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it absolutely is. I'm really happy I'm upstairs. I don't think those are the best cliches I can think of, but I am proud of you. I'm proud of you for trying. Shall we hear from somebody else? Because I just feel like we're just talking shit.
We are talking shit, but the time one, I do have to put my foot down on that one, right? Because agreed, like time itself doesn't actually heal anything, but knowing that like I'm feeling now, I'm not going to feel like this forever. As like time passes, I'm going to feel better. I like that. Like that offers me some kind of comfort when I'm not feeling great. Do you know what I mean? And then things like with a breakup, when like that is the most painful thing ever, but time really does, like the passing of time is very powerful in helping ease your feelings. So okay. I like that.
I just feel like if my head got bitten off, time wouldn't heal that.
Well, no, time won't. Yeah,
so it doesn't heal
time,
all wounds.
Time won't heal
Maybe
all wounds.
Maybe they should change the quote to like time heals some wounds.
Time can help to heal some wounds. There you go. We've updated it. It's 2022's version. Sometimes time can help to heal some wounds, but not all. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, messages from the group, from the gang.
Go on. Hit me.
Hello, lovelies. I recently discovered your podcast and I love it. Keep up the episodes and make my week. Twice a week. Yay. Okay, I wondered if I could ask for your advice around my current dating situation. I am back on the dating scene after breaking up with my boyfriend, but I'm not sure how to approach the situation I'm now in. I developed a new kink fetish with my ex that I now want to introduce into my dating life, but I'm not sure how to approach it with potential partners. I'm a bit worried as to how they will react because it's a little strange. It's all about belly buttons. I used to have a weird phobia with belly buttons and mine being touched, but my ex had a fetish for them. I got some advice during that relationship and slowly and gradually actually went with it. Surprisingly, it ended up with me manifesting that kink fetish too. So now this is part of my dating requirements, if you like. I'm worried what people will think though, because I know people can find belly buttons strange, as I did. I'm also picky that they would have to have an inny belly button. I don't know how to go about it. Is this something you might be able to discuss and advise on? I'd be interested if you've ever heard or come across anything like this before. I'd appreciate it so much, but not to worry if you can't. I would also like to remain anonymous. Hope you're both well. Oh God, every time someone says I want to be anonymous, my inclination is to carry on reading, just being like, oh, lots of love, thanks, bye, from Martin.
Thanks, Alex, at gmail.com. Okay.
Because I feel like the etiquette isn't in, like, you can't be like, first date and then just lift up your shirt. I tell you what you could do, when you get to a date, you could go, could you just grab that? You could take them to the supermarket and be like, oh, could you just grab the Dormio off the top shelf, please? And hope that their belly button, their t-shirt rides up and their belly button pops out. And if it's an outie, you can be like, see ya. Just remembered, I hate Dormio, I'm going.
I actually hate Dormio.
What?
If it's that important to you, I think there are ways to like get out of the partner on the person on the first date as to what they've got, right? There are ways and means that you can bring up belly buttons and like what you have without it being like, what kind of belly button do you have?
Al, what have you got?
An innie.
Yeah, same. I don't really know anybody with an outie.
It's just something that I never think about, I suppose.
I had mine pierced for like 10 years there, so I took it out last year because I was like, I think I'm done, which was a really weird day. I still got my little hole, obviously. Oh. But it was really weird seeing into my belly button. Like, it was like looking into the abyss. It was like looking into a black hole after like a very long time But we haven't helped this person.
But we haven't helped this person. I don't really know how to help this person. Like, this is not... I feel like I'm not well-versed in kink.
If you met, like, Dave for the first time and you went out for dinner and he was like, so, like, I have this kink, like, what do you think? That rhymes. Hey, I'm Dave. I have a kink. What do you think?
What do you think? Yeah. I have a kink. What do you think?
Anyway. Yeah, what would you, like...
If you want me to be really honest, and I know that this probably isn't the right answer, but it would put me off. Like, it would freak me out and I wouldn't like it.
Would it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna let myself out. I don't think it bothered me too much.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't like it if he was like, on the first date, I've got this kink. Do you, like, will you be into it or not? I'd be like, no, I'm out.
This is a weird thing because I don't think it's necessarily the kink that's the problem. I think it's like the bringing up of sex on the first date. Like, because I don't know if I'd be about that. I'm like, oh, maybe this is a conversation for like the date two.
I don't know. It's really hard to answer this because I am, and I don't want to like kink shame, obviously. But like being honest, like for me, if someone said to me like, "Do you like this or not?" Like it's kind of a deal breaker. I'd be like,
"But would you try it?" Like I'd try it. Someone's like, "I'm into this." I'd be like, "Okay, let's give it a go." I mean, the only thing I'd be worried about is if someone tried to fit their willy in my belly button because it just wouldn't fit. But.
Well, like, I mean, I'm kind of wondering, like, what is a belly button kink? Can I Google it?
Yeah, maybe tongues. What's your oyster, Al?
Okay, so it's nothing crazy. It's like...
No, but most kinks aren't. You know what I mean? Like, they get a really bad rep. But, like, I think people do kink shame. Yeah, including you, actually. People kink shame all the time.
Yeah, no, I probably do. Yeah.
Because I remember watching a show about kinks and it was like a guy who was really into latex and he wore this big latex suit in the woods by himself, and then the guy doing the narration was like, if you see like John, or if you see a man walking through a forest late at night in a latex suit, don't be alarmed. I was like, okay. I think
that's just not for me.
I think I would struggle with latex on a practical level just because I'm quite lazy and by bedtime I'm quite tired as it is, and the idea of having to wrestle myself into like a huge condom sounds exhausting. But like, again, I'm just like, get it, girl. And also, like, it's not that big a deal. Like, I don't think many men would mind that much, to be honest. I don't know if you're dating men, actually. No. I need to check the thing. Hang on, let me see.
And she's, I mean, that's her thing, and she's got to do what's right for her. Like, yeah, you do you. It's just, it's not for me.
I don't actually think they specified whether they're dating men or women. And you know what? I think most people would either be like, yeah, it's fine. It depends. If you were out with Al, she'd be like, no. And if you were out with me, I'd be like, okay. So I think it just depends on the person, but I do think it's best.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't bring it up on a first date, I don't think.
No, I guess where I'm struggling to maybe relate is the fact that it's a deal breaker. Because I get that it's something that, you know, you like doing and like it's a fetish, like whatever. But the fact that it's a deal breaker, I guess there when I'm a bit like, oh, I don't know, that's quite tricky.
But maybe you can't knock it till you've tried it. Like, it's not like she's saying, yeah, like, okay, look, I can only shag you if you've a bag on your head. Because, like, that I might take a bit personally. But, like, you know, I think there's some things that are fine. Like, or at least worth a try. And if you hate it, you know, healthy communication is key. Because if you hate it, you can be like, oh, no, backing out. I'm not doing this.
I wonder why an outie, not an innie. Well, I guess because you can't, like...
She needs an innie, not an outie.
In an outie, can you?
No, you... Yeah, exactly. It's already out. You can't. Yeah. I don't know. I find belly buttons absolutely fascinating. Like, I think they're very humbling.
Do you?
Yeah. I just think...
They're weird.
Because I just look at that and I'm like, that's what I've come from. That was the portal that gave me life.
Oh my God. Do you know, I looked into... that reminded me. I looked into belly button surgery like years ago.
Why?
When I was, because I don't know, like I didn't like mine. I mean, there's literally nothing wrong with it. It's just like a normal innie belly button. But for some reason, I didn't like it. Like I thought it was too wide. Like, that's what it was. I wanted it to like stretch vertically.
Diet culture. Weird place,
but I really looked into it, like heavily looked into it. I'm so glad I didn't do it. Jesus. Like my belly button is totally fine. But like, you know how we normally see like women with like the stretched, like vertical one, and mine wasn't like that. So I was like,
oh, was yours like sort of longer and thinner? Because I think that's just what happens if you just have more fat on your tummy, because it just goes,
yeah,
dunk.
It's just,
because it's just the way exactly. It works. If you're very like long and thin, it goes. And if you're
because it's more
wider,
taut.
It goes dunk. And I think I've got a donker. Yeah. But then when I stand up and do a big stretch, top aisle of the of Sainsbury's, for example, reaching for the Dormio.
Like Dormio.
Yeah, exactly. It's looking more like a teepee, rather than
a teepee.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. To this girl, we've been very unhelpful. I would say, look, if it's important to you, bring it up, probably not on the first date, but I think when it's getting closer towards, like, I mean, if you want to have sex on the first date, then obviously, like, bring it up. But if you're kind of taking things slowly and you're dating around, I probably wouldn't be like, first things first, hi, nice to meet you, what are you working with down there? Because it's a kind of all or nothing for me. I'd wait a couple of dates, and maybe when things were leading towards sex, I would be like, oh yeah, right. Now have to show me. Yeah.
Innie or outie.
Yeah.
But like, what if this is a really wonderful person that she could actually see herself having a future with, but he or she has an outie? Like I struggle to believe that could be a deal breaker.
This happens all the time, Al. Look at how people talk about height. Like how many women are like, I'm not going to date a man that's below 6 foot. And it's like, that could be the love of your fucking life at 5'11".
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, totally.
Like, people do it all the time.
Totally.
So, I don't know, like, I don't think there's much of a difference between, like, a belly button and the height or, like...
No, people like what they like.
Also, maybe she'd make an exception if she found somebody really great. But, I don't know.
Especially for women who will only date tall men. Often you hear that they end up, like, falling for someone who's a lot shorter. And they're like, oh, it just happened. Like, it just happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, basically, I've absolutely fluffed this because I actually don't even know what the question was. I just went on a tangent.
How do you bring up a kink to somebody?
Oh, how do you bring it up? Okay, I have no idea. I'm so sorry. This is not my area at all. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think just broach it. Just toward when things are heating up, I'd just say, look, just so you know, this is something that I'm kind of into. I can explain it to you, like, this is why I like it, and I think just make it, and I think this applies to, like, all kinks, because I think they get a really hard rep, and people think that everything's, like, dodgy or sordid or seedy, which it isn't at all, but I think, like, the first step is healthy communication, and like, if they're not into it initially, maybe just see how they react to the conversation. Because if they're going to be like kind of shitty and like shaming you or whatever, just be like, well, you're not the right person. You and your outie belly button, you can get fucked. So, I don't know. Just get chatting.
What she said.
Thanks, Al. So inspiring.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Okay, what's up?
So, I have an email. Hi, you lovely ladies. Got to say, love the podcast. Thank you. Has anyone ever told you that? Not enough is my answer. Not enough. I haven't. Is it just me that I feel like such a bad person having? But anyway, I've got to ask. Is it just me that feels sad when their only sibling says they never want kids and will be just the fun uncle or aunt? I feel guilty for saying this because I know, of course, it's their choice and they have to choose what's best for them. But I genuinely get sad at the thought of my kids missing out on having that amazing cousin relationship that we have had growing up. And I just don't think that bond could really be substituted by a fun uncle slash auntie. Some of my best memories have been because of our big extended family. And I hate to say, but it hurts my heart that my kids won't have that. I know that this is a selfish view on a much wider and bigger topic, but can I just ask, is it just me that is in this situation? Thank you both.
My sister often says, and I don't know if she'll change her mind, she's kind of not massively enamored of kids, and sometimes I'm like, you better change your mind. Which I know you're not supposed to think. I don't really say it, but I just think it to myself. I'm like, you, I can't wait for you to come around, because I kind of hope that she doesn't mean it. So I get that. And I don't know, because I know there's another side of me that has to respect people being child-free by choice, and I absolutely do, and I totally, totally do. And if that's what she feels, then I completely respect and love that. But exactly like you, for selfish reasons, I'm like, bitch, you better, you better procreate. Yeah.
And I think it's so fine for her to be, for this girl to be sad about that. Like, she can totally be sad about that. Because, like, both, you know, yeah, it's absolutely fine. And look, the child, like, there are options. Like, the child can have siblings. I don't know if you're planning on having any more children, but, like, siblings. And, you know, I've got, like, loads of sisters, and I do have cousins, but we live really far away, and, like, me and my sisters are, like, the closest things ever. So, you know, there are other networks for your child, you know, to have, you know, to have a family. But I totally understand being sad by it, especially if that's what you know and what you've grown up with. Like, because I think I would love to have loads of kids, but I know that it won't happen. And I know it won't, that's not what is going to happen for us. And sometimes, like, that does make me feel sad, because that's what I've known, is like growing up with four sisters and then being five of us, and there just being tons of people around me all the time. So part of me feels like, oh my god, but that is so sad. But then I just think, like, yeah, you live and adapt, and like, humans are great at adapting, and the child will be like loved and have a great, hopefully great friendship base, and maybe some siblings. So, but you're fine to feel sad about it as well. You don't, like, as long as you don't sort of project that sadness onto the person who doesn't want the kids, because I think you have to just respect their decision and, like, let them do what they want. But yeah, you can be sad about it for sure.
It's such a funny thing, isn't it? Because I know this in my heart, that when somebody says, like, I don't want kids, like, I have to respect their decision that they don't want kids. But then I think there's still this, like, weird societal thing where you think, oh, they'll change their mind. Or, like, I hope they change their mind. Or, like, and it's really weird, isn't it? Like, yeah, the expectation that we put on other people. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because we want everybody to do like we do, or we think always best, or, like, because I just believe, you know, some people want kids more than anything. Some people want kids a lot. Like, I think there are different levels. Like, I've got friends that are like, I was put on this earth to be a mother, and that's my ambition. And I've got some people who are like, yeah, we'll have a family and that'll be great. And I do think they're very different camps. And then there are some people who are just like, I don't fucking know, I don't think so. And then some people are like, resolutely not. And I think It's really hard to put yourself in the position of another camp, because you spend your whole life envisaging what you think your life's going to look like and what you think your life should look like. So the idea that somebody else's life is going to look different, you're going to be like, the fuck? Like, I don't understand it. And I think In our, like, quest to understand, we often end up being really insulting or, like, pushy.
Right.
Because we're just like, are you sure? Like, maybe you're going to change your mind or whatever. And actually, if people did that to people who wanted kids, it would be like, you can't do that. Like, if I said to you, Al, like, oh, I really want to have a baby, and you were like, are you sure? Like, are you really sure? Because, you know, like, it won't be, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, suck a dick. But for some reason, When people say, like, oh, I don't want to have a kid, everyone's like, well, are you sure? Because you might change your mind, blah, 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 blah. And it's really weird that we do it that way around. And it's like, we're just holding women to this standard that they have to do this thing for whatever reason. And even, you know, like, obviously that's not actually what this girl's saying, because I get it from like a familial standpoint, like a complete and with your friends and stuff. But it's like, I don't know, I find how we are about people who don't want kids so weird.
It is so weird, isn't it? It is so weird. And the fact that people who are child-free by choice have to consistently and continuously say, like, we're not having kids and we're okay to not have kids, and, like, sort of they have to justify their reasons because of all the backlash they get about. I don't think backlash is necessarily the word. I'm trying to think of the right word, but I guess the inquisition around it. Like, people are just intrigued about it. And yeah, I think a lot of people hold the belief of like, one day they'll change their mind, or like their sister will have a baby, or I don't know, their friend will have a baby, and then, or like something will click, will, you know, just click in them, and then they want a baby. And yeah, I think it's funny how hard we find it to accept that some people just don't want children. So off the back of this, I said on Instagram earlier this week, oh, I just had this most amazing sleep, like for 7 hours, like through all the way through. And I said like, oh, you know, sorry for bragging to any of like the mums out there. And I guess I said it because like my sister's recently had a baby. I know about the sleeplessness, and it was kind of at the forefront of my mind to be like, oh my God, it would just be, I know I didn't owe it to anyone, but I was just like, oh, it'd be painful if I was so sleep deprived. And then seeing that, you'd be like, oh. And I got this slightly disgruntled DM of someone saying like, why do we feel like we have to apologize to parents for not being tired or for sleeping, because being a parent and having a child is a choice. And I screenshotted this DM and said, what do you think about it? And left a question box. And oh my God, I don't think I've ever had a subject as replied to before in the entire time I've been on Instagram. My DMs are completely, they're in absolute chaos. And it's a very emotive subject, but people feel very strongly. I think it's sad that actually it ends up becoming a bit of a competition. Like, and the two are pitted against each other of like people who have women who have children, women who don't have children, and both feel, the general feeling is that both feel hard done by.
Okay, I don't know why I've never felt particularly strongly either way. Like, I think the way that society treats mothers is absolutely rank. And I think I have like my own confusion about people that don't want kids, but I always challenge that because I think it's just coming from this like patriarchal belief that I've grown up with and like my own expectations for my own life. And I'm one of those people that's just quite judgmental, like, and I've really had to work on this with like coaching, because I have such high standards for myself that I very often put the same standards on other people. And it actually was a disaster in my friendships, because like my expectations for my friends would be so high because I thought I held everyone to my standards, and then it was like my friends were all taking this invisible test and they didn't realise and they were failing it. And then I was angry with them, even though it was never their fault because they didn't do anything wrong. It was always on me, which is a side note, but it was kind of relevant to this because I always felt like my way was kind of the good way to do it. And if anybody else did it, it was like not so good. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I think within that, if people did things that I didn't do, I'd be like, I don't understand. Like, this doesn't, whatever. Anyway, so I've really worked on that. But I don't think I ever had it for mums particularly, because I'm always kind of aware of the infertility conversation, I suppose, and that's been a part of like my upbringing. I've just been very around it, so I was like, well, I don't know. But as I get older and as we come to this age, I'm like, what the fucking shit is wrong with people? This is why men are thriving in business and everywhere, because women are just so busy tearing. We get to this point where we're so successful, you know, this is where we're kind of doing our best, our work, and we need our most support. Mums need most support, and not mums need, but mostly mums, sorry. Women with kids need a lot of support at this point. Like, if you're like 30 years old or 35 years old or whatever it is, when you've got to a point in your career where you're doing so well and you do have to make sacrifices, like, you just do, you sacrifice your body, you sacrifice your work, you sacrifice so much to do this. And I don't understand why then the people who've chosen not to have kids are like, oh, well, it's a choice or whatever. I don't understand why we're not all rallying around, because I do think we have a responsibility to our sisters and our friends and the women around us to support them at a really difficult time. And I find it really weird how it does end up with this weird camp, because I get that like some mums might be sanctimonious and like I was saying before, and like, oh, well, you don't know love until you've had a baby. And like, please, I've seen that. I've experienced that so much, even in my life, like just having a dog, the amount of people that, like, I literally always say this to Boo. It's like, I walk around the park and I see mums looking at me and I'm like, I get it, you've had a miracle and I have a dog. But like, you know, we're all like, anyway, so I get that some women who are choosing not to have children can feel a bit judged by mums, but I still land on the side of like, I just think women need so much support at this point in their lives. And it really upsets me then that that they get so attacked because, like, we can't get away from the fact that mums do. Like, they get judged for fucking everything. Like, you go back to work too soon, you don't go back to work. Like, you get a nanny, you do it all yourself. Like, whatever it is, like, you get judged for it. And you breastfeed, you don't breastfeed, you snap back, you don't snap back, you're judged. And then you just got this added thing of, like, people without children getting kind of shitty with mums. And it's like, if we want flexi working, if we want maternity leave to and men to take us seriously, and we need to be on each other's side, because it's like we already have to fight so much for, like, the rights of mums in the workplace. Like, it feels then just really gutting that they kind of get gone for by other women as well. And I'm not saying they don't deserve it, because I know some mums can be an absolute, they can be awful to women without children. I do know that. But yeah. I still, on balance, think, like, just sometimes showing a bit of empathy and support for a new mum, it goes a long
way.
This
is it. Just a bit of compassion. It literally costs us nothing, does it? You know?
No.
And a lot of people are like, well, what about me? I've got a chronic illness. Or what about me? You know, there, like, other reasons that people are sleepless, you know, or tired or sleep deprived. I was like, I know, but everything I say cannot come with a million disclaimers. And this is and we can't live our lives like that. At some point, we have to be able to just talk freely without the, but what about, but what about, but what about.
The whataboutism.
Whataboutism, exactly. And I just think it's just a little bit of compassion and, like, people just, yeah, like, I didn't really understand the offence that was taken to that. It was like, if you don't want to have compassion for people who, for women who have had babies, that's fine, but other people are allowed to. Like, it's okay.
A lot of people do it like, oh, it's a choice. It's a choice. Like, you made this choice. Like, you chose.
Yes, this is
children.
A big thing as well.
And it's like, okay, a few things. My mum always says, right, when you're hungover, like, my mum gives you so much love, gives me so much love when I'm hungover, because she's like, darling, it doesn't matter how you got ill. The fact is that you're ill now and you need help. Like,
right.
And that's, that you, there are so many situations where, I think you said it on your Instagram, that where it was like, you know, you don't, if somebody breaks their leg skiing, you wouldn't be like, push them out the way on the tube and be like, oh, well, you chose to ski, ha ha ha.
Exactly.
Like, it's really weird. This, like, okay, yeah, you make the choice, but also, like, we make choices all the time. Like, you choose to live in a house, and it's like, if, I don't know, it starts leaking, it's not your fault. Or, like, you choose to do a job. If you some days find it really hard, it doesn't mean that it's your fault, or, like, you don't deserve compassion. And also, look, some people do choose babies, and some people regret that decision, and that's a fact. But also, some people make the wrong choice, but some people are forced into that decision. Some people think the alternative is too terrible. You know, like, we don't know everybody's situation. And some people do just choose it, and you can choose something and still have a fucking, just a terrible time. You can, like, the amount of choices I've made in my life, like, I don't know, sometimes I'll choose a pudding and this is a fucking disgusting pudding, but I've chosen it now and I've paid for it. And a baby's just like a massive pudding that you have to eat for 18 years.
And it's it's the reason that we're here. Like, we were born out of a choice. That's the reason
also,
that we exist.
Surely,
like,
if someone's struggling because they've made the wrong choice, then they need even more love. Like, bless you.
Yeah.
You've made this choice and it's not worked out as you thought, and you're struggling with the decision that you've made. How terrible for you. Can I give you a hug? That's the way we should be going.
Right.
Because imagine seeing someone being sad, being like, haha, it's your fault, you're sad now, fuck you. Because that's kind of what it feels like.
It's just, it does feel a bit cruel. Okay, maybe not cruel, but at least lacking in compassion, definitely, and empathy.
But then some mums are awful. Like, the amount of times I've been barged onto the road by a woman with a double-breasted baggie with loads of drugs with a buggy. So it's really hard, but it's just like, I just wish everyone could be a bit nicer. I don't understand why we've landed.
You know, and also, like, I got a lot of DMs from mum saying, yeah, but it's true. Like, no one will ever know tiredness until they become a mum. And
no,
then that as well,
slept
I'm like,
properly in 30 years.
Yeah, but no, but also on that, it's like, but that's not true. And you don't know that that's true. Like, that might be your experience, but also, like, it's true.
It's definitely
like, some
my
people...
mum's. She talks about it all the time.
Yeah, actually, it's my mum's experience too. But, like, that is so individual. And some people, yeah, you just can't. I just don't think you can say that. You can say it for yourself, like, oh, God, I didn't know tiredness until I became a mum. But you can't just I just don't think you can, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't think mums can have the monopoly on tiredness. Like,
no, they can't. And there isn't a finite amount of tiredness either, you know. There's like, there's a lot of tiredness in the world, and not all of that tiredness is induced by being a parent. So
no.
I think compassion goes all ways, you know. And also, yeah.
I feel like I've been mean to the anti-mums now. And I feel like I wasn't mean enough to mums. I feel like I should have balanced the scales. But I actually just
think a lot of it comes down to the kind of person you are rather than whether you're a mum or not a mum. Mm. And I think it's like how understanding you are of other people's situations and how much empathy you have. In my eyes, that is what it comes down to. But also, you obviously can't, as a non-mum, like I will never have the experience until I am a mum, hopefully. I will never have the experience of being a mum. So I guess it's like having that compassion, but also knowing that you just, at the end of the day, you just don't know because you can't, you know, have that experience. So yeah.
No, it's really weird. It's really personal. But I feel like everybody thinks they know best for other people. And that's what stresses me out the most.
Totally. And it's just, oh my God, this topic is so complex and so emotive. Like I massively regretted saying, ever saying anything.
But I don't understand. This is what I don't understand, because I'm of an age where this is relevant. You are of an age where this is relevant. I mean, I will roll my eyes sometimes in a park or whatever if I am, like, barged off the path by a buggy. But if I sit with that feeling, I'm like, to be fair, you have a buggy and I don't. Like, so instinctively I get annoyed because that's my instincts to be like, oh, well, why do you think you're more important than me? And I'm like, well, to be fair, actually, I can, like, do this. And so, but I also think a massive thing is, like, society, we just don't like mums. We're not nice about mums. Like, the connotations of being a mum, like, the way that a woman's identity changes. And I just think we're kind of conditioned to not really respect mums that much. And I think that's where, like, a lot of this comes
okay,
from.
Okay, so I've got a good one for you, actually. A DM that I screenshotted, right? So when I initially screenshotted the DM that said, why do we have to, you know, being a mother, being a parent is a choice. Why do we have to feel like we have to apologise to mums? Someone replied and said, completely agree. I was just on a long haul flight and I had paid for a window seat. A mum with a young child asked if we could swap so she could sleep better. And she got annoyed with me when I said no. I felt bad saying no, but I think I deserve to sleep as well, even though I'm not a mother. What do you think? And I screenshotted that because I was like, that is very, very interesting.
No, it's her seat. She shouldn't have to move.
And I totally agree with you. She paid for her seat. She shouldn't have to move. But I'm scared of putting that on Instagram and saying, what do you guys think? Because I think that will also get a lot of, you know.
Yeah, I think because Alex said this the other day, because when I was flying home from the Seychelles, I thought I had cystitis. So I was in the window seat and Al was like, well, why don't I ask your man, like, if he wants to go in, like, because he was, the guy next to us was on the aisle. And he was like, well, why don't I just ask him to swap? And I'm like, oh, God, no, don't, blah, 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 because I'm so awkward. And Alex was like, the worst he can do is say no. And like, and Alex is so simple that he wouldn't read into it. So maybe that mum was just like, I'm just going to ask, like, the worst anybody can do is say no. And I think, yeah, we put a lot of the, like, how dare she, blah, 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 onto someone else when actually, like, they were just asking. Like, it's not that deep. So I don't know. Like, in the end, I didn't ask him because this guy had quite long legs. And I was like, I just don't even. And I don't want to have to tell a stranger that I'm on my way home from a honeymoon with cystitis, because that's a bit of a fucking cliche. Turns out it wasn't cystitis. I said one painful wee. Anyway, but
But yeah, you're right. I think they can ask, but I think she was well within her right to say no. If you've purposely 100%. Paid for a window seat, then you take your window seat. Like,
I do feel sorry for mums on flights. As I've got older, I used to be like, who brings a baby on a flight? And then I'm like, actually, you, and that's fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a no baby zone. Everyone can take, you know, like, totally. I don't know. I get annoyed when I see people being annoyed with mums on flights, because I'm like, this is so unfair. Like, what
is
she meant to do?
That's so unfair. That is so unfair. I always try and like give a smile and I'll be like, you're doing great.
Yeah. I mean, we're all babies once. Like,
we're all babies
once.
And a lot of the time I feel so bad for them because they look mortified. They're not like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry this is happening. It's like, oh my God, it's a baby. You can't control it at the end of the day. Like, babies are going to be babies. Like, you're fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, we probably need to wrap this up because we have been recording for a lot longer than we were supposed to.
Yeah, this is normally supposed to be the fun, chill episode, and it hasn't been, but I really want to do more on this conversation.
Oh my God, I literally said, like, I regretted bigging it up on Instagram, and now we've brought it up on the podcast, and God knows what our emails and DMs are going to be like. I am not prepared. I am not ready. Please.
I think we get stressed. We say it all with love. Like, we both hope to be mums one day. So, you know, this isn't like throwing shade at mums, but also I respect child-free people like crazy. And if you want to make that choice and spend your money on yourself, then fucking crack on. But I just think mums can't tell child-free people that they're better and more important because they've birthed a child. And people who haven't got children can't tell mums this shit because... we just live and let live. Jesus.
Live and let live. There you go.
Because what? You've got a man. We've ended on a cliche. A child-free man by choice. And it's just like, what? A bachelor? Like, it's just ridiculous, the language that we use for women and the way we just go for each other. Like, you can't imagine, like, fucking Alex sitting in the pub with Dave, like, just silently judging each other because one of them's decided, like, to have a child. Like, it just wouldn't happen at all. Like, imagine.
Ridiculous. So, yeah, it's just even ridiculous.
Yeah, like Alex walking into the pub just being like, oh, I'm so tired. And Dave's like, oh, you... yeah, she can't really say you're tired because probably like, just when it happens. Yeah, exactly. You made this choice. So,
yeah.
We're just too used to going for each other as women. But anyway.
Yeah. Live and let live. I love it. We'll end on that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
If you've got any thoughts on this, please send us an email or thoughts on anything or an embarrassing story or anything. Email us at shouldidelethatpod@gmail.com or send us a DM to the Should I Delete That Instagram account.
And yeah, thank you so much for being with us. And big thanks to Acast. We are part of their creator network and we will see you guys on Monday.
See you on Monday. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.